our December 7th, 2016, Santa Barbara AEBG Consortium meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order at 9:03. And take roll. My name is Melissa Marino. I'm the chair of the consortium. Tony Bauer.
Here.
And our new member, Gerardo Conejo.
Here.
And we have absent Ray McDonald. So I want to welcome everyone this morning. We have a very light agenda. We're looking forward to a new member. I'd like to introduce Gerardo Conejo, who's the principal of Carpinteria High School. We are pending his official board designation, which we should have hopefully within the next 30 days or so.
Next week.
Oh, by next week. That would be great. And we need to have that as part of our official record, so we'll work with Corlay to get that gathered and posted where it needs to be. Ray extends his apologies for not being here. And because Ray isn't here, we moved around some agenda items, so we will be having program presentations in our next meeting, which is not the first Wednesday of the month, but the second Wednesday of the month, given the holidays and people coming back into the swing of things a little bit more slowly. So we will be having our next meeting with program presenters, our program leads, on January 11th. And so today we have a pretty short agenda, and I'd like to turn it over to Corlay for any legislative updates or announcements from our state.
Okay. The most important announcement now to date is our student data and reporting. Student data and reporting, the state, as you know, has allocated us $126,000 to do accurate reporting. And so the deadline originally scheduled for December 31st of this month has been moved to the end of February. Because during the AEBG summit in Sacramento, they really listened to the AEBG coordinators and the staff members and what they had to say. And basically the bottom line is we need more time to really start exploring how we're going to meet this goal of collecting data, the technical as well as the staffing personnel and how that's going to be managed. So right now, what we have, our task is to follow their lead. They have us, they're still making announcements even as of this week on what they would like, what directions they would like the coordinators to make in selecting a database system. Because the first phase is for consortium to identify an MIS system, basically an electronic system. Because there are some consortium right now that don't use the MIS system. And so they're waiting for all of the other consortium to move up to speed, first identifying that major platform. Then they move into how they're going to collect the data. And it'll be, the data will be reviewed and it'll be due within 2 years. So we actually, our goal is to develop a plan on how we are going to track students, how we are going to collect students, because as you know from the last annual plan that we submitted this last summer and the data reporting that we submitted, there were a lot of questions that we don't collect. Say, for example, current students that are currently pregnant and what are their goals? We don't collect this data, so the state would like this data. So certain questions like this, those are the outliers, but they still need to be reported. So we're looking for a system. The state thus far is highly recommending that we use CASAS TOPS Pro. So the original message being, go ahead and choose any system you'd like. Now that's sort of, that now now it seems as though we will be required, seems as though right now we have yet to find out if that we will be using this system. So now I think it's one of my tasks to really find out how we can use this system across the board for all of our other programs.
So let me ask you a question. Are we spending that $126,000, that's in addition to our $773 allocation. We're spending that on a data management system and on a person, is that correct?
Yes.
And so I just want to be mindful of the timing of that, because in order for Santa Barbara City College to hire a person, we have to open a position, we have to announce the position, we need to get a hiring committee together, and that takes months. And so is that something that, I mean, does the board have to decide the amount out of the 126 that funds the system and funds the person, and then we need to authorize the creation of a temporary position right away? I mean, I'm feeling like if we've got a deadline of February, we've got to do something pretty quickly.
Yes. Yes. The good news is that from their perspective, they would like a plan that says that we will be hiring someone, because we do have options within this to determine how we're going to spend that money. So they don't require us to have the person already in place by February,
yeah.
But they want the general plan of what's going to occur by the end of December 2017.
And so does
we
that
plan by the end of December?
Right.
Okay.
What's the deadline for expending the 126? Is it the same as our other funds?
Yes.
Which it has that 3-year kind of flexibility?
Yes.
Are they going to re-up another 126 the next year? We don't know.
We don't know, but it is likely.
Okay.
They think they really want to, earmark those funds, or they want to separate those funds. They want to keep them separate because it's a different.
Okay.
But this is a really good point, because we do have to move quickly, but we don't have to make any selections.
Well, I would suggest then, at our next meeting, we put on the agenda an action item to authorize the college to move forward with what we need to do to create this position. So it could be a quick, I know we have a jam-packed calendar.
No, this is good.
But let's make an action item on the agenda regarding this $126,000. And you might know more about the CASAS TOPS Pro, you know, by then, and we could make a decision maybe about that to move forward, because the other thing is that the college, this is a recruiting time. January, February is recruitment for a July 1 start date. And so we want to ride that wave of, when folks are looking for positions.
Mm-hmm.
It's now. It's January, February, March. So we want to be in that wave.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What kind of training would this person require? And is there also a student collection system that we currently use in the college that could do the same thing that they're asking us to do? But if we go out and hire someone, how long would it take them to come up to speed to the software that the state is asking us to look into?
Those are good questions, because that's one thing that they have mentioned in our trainings, our weekly webinars, is that it's going to be difficult to find someone with that has those, that level of expertise in data management systems, as well as the learning the ropes within the educational bureaucracy, per se. And so this is why they're giving consortia a little bit more time to find that person. There's a understanding that it would be in-house, that they would hire someone that's generally familiar already with the CASAS TOPS Pro. They haven't explicitly said that that's the program, but they're directing all of the consortium. But because we work in tandem with our Office of Research, they will be an arm in helping us select that person, particularly because all of our MIS data collection system goes through City College, and so they will have to have some rapport with our existing Office of Research, so, and they would help us in that recruitment effort.
We use CASAS in the non-credit ESL program, right? Is it CASAS TOPS Pro or just CASAS?
That's where we're still at.
Okay.
That's exactly.
Well, we have some data collection happening in CASAS, but I don't know if it's CASAS TOPS Pro. And we have been in talks with our institutional research office where we're considering hiring someone to sit in that office to help with non-credit data collection. And so that might happen in that way. And it would have to be a temporary position because it's quote unquote categorical funding.
And a good point is something that we have to note is TOPS Pro is the database and the tool, so it's separate with its reporting. It needs an interactive reporting tool and a tracker. So this is one thing that's separate from just data collection. It has to be interactive and something that works beyond the database, not just the collection. And so, because it is, I understand with the tool, it's much different.
CASAS is the test. TOPS Pro is the database and the tool. That's what I meant.
And so so we have to be very clear on what's going to be chosen for the next 2 years. For the next 2 or 3 years, if not more so, because there isn't going to be a lot of flexibility to choose another system once it rolls out.
The state decides, huh?
Okay, so any other announcements or updates, or you're good? Okay. I've already introduced Gerardo. Do you have anything you want to share with the consortium?
I've been working at Carbondale Unified School District for 27 years. This is my 10th year as a principal. I graduated from Carpentry High School. I lived in the community. I've never left the area other than for traveling, but my education and everything was done within a 30-mile radius. So
can I ask you some questions?
Sure.
So at CARP High, what are the programs that are serving adults we know you have an adults with disabilities, a small adults with disabilities program, but what are some of your, I know we talked offline about your vision of what you would like. What do you have currently and where would you like to head?
Well, currently we have computer classes in the evening. I would love to be able to have a more robust after-school program for the community and also for our students that may have access to it. I don't like seeing classrooms with the lights off in the evening. I like the fact that the campus can be used a significant amount of time. So we are exploring opportunities of bringing dual enrollment sections at Carpentry High School in the evening and other courses for the community. We have a state-of-the-art culinary arts program. We're working on the whole high school will be rebuilt in the next 5 years. So there will be opportunities to bring new programs as we bring new buildings in line.
Great. And so just so you know, our programs that can be funded out of this block grant are ages 18 and over. So we will be really excited to work with you and maybe at our next round of funding, when we do a request for proposal process, we'd love to have something in there from CARP High.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
We can count on that.
Jose Martinez is on our agenda, but he got called away. But we are bringing the Community Education Center in as a partner to the Education Block Grant, and he is our manager of that Education Center. And what that does is integration. office also does bilingual programs, and he was going to come and speak to the new, I think it was Prop 58 on bilingual education and how that's going to potentially impact what the community college can do moving forward, because in the past we've been limited to any bilingual education being connected to an English as a second language program. So that potentially opens doors for new bilingual education programming. And so Jose couldn't be here, but maybe not in January, but our February meeting, we can invite him back to present on what his programs do and start to integrate that into the adult education block grant. We have an approval, a consent item for the meeting minutes from September. September? So we never approved the September minutes?
We usually would approve them in the October meeting, but we did not have our October meeting.
We
didn't have our October meeting, and then our November meeting, we were in Sacramento. So we have yet to...
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
To approve the minutes.
Well, I'm not sure we can, because Ray's absent and her brother has to abstain because he wasn't part of it. So it's just the two of us.
Unless you two are both to disagree on the minutes.
Two out of four.
Two out of four works.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, do I have a second? I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Abstentions?
I abstain.
Okay, we have one action item. So we have seen and worked on this budget for the last few meetings. Our tentative budget that we approved prior to analyzing our request for proposals, we approved, and then as our proposals came in, we made some adjustments because we wanted to fund all of the fabulous programs that came our way, and we had to make some adjustments based on that because we did an across the board 20%+ reduction in all of the RFPs. And so this is what landed on our plate with those reductions. So I'd like to kind of go through this. We have allocated almost 75% of the entire budget to existing and new program funds. And then we've pulled about $20,000 for overall marketing and capital outlay, professional development. We pulled $75,000 for student support services, and that's, you know, the student support services runs across programs and gives all of our programs support. And so as a consortium, we decided that that was an overarching piece that was important to maintain, because without student support services, we can't get students enrolled in programs properly. And
so what's an example of a student support service?
So we have two full-time program support staff that provides, you know, basically frontline support and academic counseling to non-credit students. And without that funding, so what's really interesting is we have SSSP funding that's this student support and equity funds that were reduced because the college overall enrollments have gone down. And what normally would support the student support services has been reduced by almost 60%. So we have some funds that are coming from that, but AEBG needs to kick up those funds to help support our existing personnel, which is it's only two people. And so with a combination of the SSSP funds leveraged with the AEBG, we would be able to keep those support services, which are critical. So it's admission. admissions and records, registration, academic counseling, everything we need to get these non-credit students enrolled and give them the support they need. And it goes across all programs. And so, and then Corlay's position, which is the AEBG coordinator, totals 110,000, including almost 30% of benefits. And so we'd like to continue that position because Corlay's role has been absolutely critical to the function of our consortium, all the hands-on relationships with our partners and all of the data collection and reporting and all of the program lead management is what really Corlay's job has been. So now her position workload continues to grow because now we have two rounds of funding that she's tracking. So, and then for your benefit, Gerardo, you can see 9 programs that we have funded for this is year 2 budget. And so I'd like to entertain a motion to approve this budget for our 16-17 year.
This budget ends when?
So, great question. 15-16 is fiscal year July 1 to June 30th, so we're finishing up fiscal 15-16, and well, it was extended to December. But we have flexibility of expending those funds. We haven't expended all those funds because we started behind the eight ball because of the state's timing of when the funding actually came. So just a little bit of a history. July 1 was the start of 15-16, but we didn't get funded until October.
Okay.
And so they extended that sort of close out to December, but we can actually have flexibility with spending those funds all the way to the end of 17-18. But as a consortium, we made a local decision to pressure our programs to expend by the end of this fiscal, by the end of this calendar year, because we don't want to be carrying too many funds. So this budget is technically fiscal 16-17, which would have started July, but we just received those funds like in November, and so again we're kind of having to trail by, you know, about 6 months.
So this goes till what?
Probably to December 2017. And again, as a consortium, we can be flexible, but we're putting pressure on our program leads to expend by the end of December 2017. Because we'll get another round, they're committed to a third round of funding, we'll get 17-18.
So when we get that funding in 17-18, the state gets their act together, which never happens, but and they do fund it July 1st, wouldn't we have the two budgets going at the same time?
Maybe still three, actually.
Same as your CT budget.
Mm-hmm.
You could have three different allocations running at the same time.
But I personally, and it seems as if our community loves the RFP process. That has worked out really well for our consortium, and not all consortia are doing that. And when we went to the summit in Sacramento, we actually conducted a meeting in Sacramento. We were hanging out with other consortia, and not everyone is working as smoothly and hadn't done the request for proposal process. And what has happened in the last 2 years with this consortium is that we've been able to have all of these partners come to the table, and we have better public engagement than almost any other consortia our size. So we will continue that process because it's been so successful, and it helps us to kind of manage three different budgets because it's not all the same players in each bucket. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So do I have a motion to approve the 16, 17?
And the second sheet with the budget?
Yes.
That's the itemized list based on the request that we had our program leaders deduct the 23.5.
Yeah. Yes. So do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So,
to meet you at 10:00.
Do you have a meeting to go to?
I have a meeting at 9:45.
Oh, well then.